The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Binyamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Rosh Hashanah Dav Zayin. The Gemara discusses the halacha of Rosh Hashanah with regard to Sechiras Vatim. Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Yud Beis quotes Tshuvas HaRosh. Rosh discusses the halacha about a question which came to him from a certain town where they had the custom of renting houses on a certain date. People would generally move on a certain day, a certain specific season, let's say a certain month. And the question came before the Rosh, where Reuven, the landlord, rented a house to Shimon, a tenant, on that specific day for a year. The year passed, and Reuven was waiting to hear from the tenant to know whether or not the tenant would want to continue the lease. The tenant didn't approach the landlord. The landlord wasn't really interested in bringing up the subject with the tenant. I guess he didn't want to rock the boat. He lived there for a month. After a month, let's say the date was Rosh Chodesh Adar, so on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Shimon approaches Reuven and tells him, "Look, it was nice knowing you. I'll be moving on now. I'd like to move to another house." So Reuven says, "What do you mean? I can't find a tenant now. People don't rent houses on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. People rent houses on Rosh Chodesh Adar." Question came before the Rosh. Can Reuven force Shimon to continue renting the house from him for the remainder of the year until next Rosh Chodesh Adar? So the Rosh paskin that indeed Reuven has the right to force Shimon to continue living in the house. The Paiskim discuss how far the Rosh's psak went. Would Shimon be obligated to pay even if he moved out? In other words, was the Rosh saying that before the fact of Shimon moving out, when Shimon is still contemplating making the move, we tell Shimon, you have to stay in the house and pay the rent. But if Shimon had already moved out, perhaps Shimon would get off scot-free, we wouldn't force him to pay the rent. Or would we say that it doesn't help him to move out? He wasn't allowed to break the contract, even though there was no contract, but he wasn't allowed to break this, I guess, assumed contract. And he would be obligated to pay the rent for the remainder of the year, whether or not he moved out. I'd like to discuss a little bit about the different shitas about this, and their reasons, and I'd like to apply it to contemporary questions that come up as far as notifications are concerned. We know that generally contract includes a clause saying that the other party has to be notified before the contract is terminated. Let's say they say you got to give a 30-day notice. Obviously, the assumption is that if the notice is not given, then the party who failed to notify would be held responsible. But sometimes things are a little bit more ambiguous, where, let's say, the tenant told the landlord, "I'd like to leave. I'm looking for an apartment. I hope to find something." And the landlord's a nice guy. He doesn't want to be pushy. He says, "I can't rent out the house till I know that you're actually going to be leaving." And then the tenant comes back and says, "Look, I found something. I'm moving out tomorrow." What will we say as far as the obligation of the tenant at this point? Would we say that he has to pay the next month? Or would we say, no, he said he told the landlord, you have to expect that I'm going to move out. And similar questions where things are not so clear, it's important to know, if the tenant is obligated to pay, what's the reason for it? How strong is this obligation, and what's its source? There's basically three general opinions in the Paiskim. There is one, let's call it a fringe shita, which holds that indeed the tenant doesn't have to pay the landlord if he's not living in the house. And when the Rosh said that Shimon's not allowed to move out, all he meant was that l'chatchila Shimon shouldn't move out because he's causing a loss to Reuven. Obviously, if he wants to pay him, he doesn't have to stay in the house. But l'chatchila, we tell him either don't move out and pay the rent or move out and pay the rent. But once Shimon moves out, there's no way for us to force him and din to pay the rent. So the Shaar Mishpah says that he feels that the hefsed that Shimon caused Reuven is not a real hefsed. He didn't actually cause him to lose money. He caused him to fail to realize the profit that he thought he would get. Reuven thought he would be able to rent out the house. Shimon caused him not to be able to rent out the house. It's as though Shimon stopped Reuven from renting out his house. Let's say he caused the house to be locked up. He stops people from coming to look at the house, where the halacha is clear that Shimon is not mechuyev to Reuven. So the Shaar Mishpat feels that this should be the same thing. Other Achrayim, everyone I've seen, argues on them very strongly, and they find support in the actual Lashon of the Tshuvas HaRosh. If you look inside in the Tshuvas HaRosh, it seems pretty clear that the Rosh was discussing whether or not Shimon has to pay. The Lashon of Shulchan Aruch also would seem to indicate in Siman Shin Yud Beis Sif Dalet that Shimon would have to pay. So all the Achrayim argue on the Shaar Mishpat. From what I've seen, it seems to be pretty unanimous that the Halacha would be that he has to pay. Now, even according to the Shaar Mishpat, it's important to point out that this doesn't necessarily apply nowadays when there's specifically written in the contract that if the notification is not given, he has to pay. I mean, I'm not sure if it says it clearly that he has to pay, but it's certainly the understanding when the contract is signed that there is an obligation. So I find it unlikely to say that according to the Shaar Mishpat, even according to the Shaar Mishpat, that a tenant would be patur nowadays. However, the rationale behind being mechayev, the tenant, is not clear. Let's generalize and say there are two different opinions, and obviously each of these opinions has different subdivisions, there's different nuances in each of them. Let's call them generally two camps in the Achrayim of explanation why the tenant would be obligated to pay the landlord. The first mahalach in Achrayim is that is brought down in the Pesachei Tshuva and the Nachlas Tzvi, which is by the same author. Also, the Marsham discusses this and the Arach Shai. The reason they give is either the halach of Garmi or the halach of Arev. Or the Marsham gives a third mahalach where he says it might be a Tachanas Achamim. The common denominator between these three mahalachim is that the reason to be mechayiv, the tenant, is because we say that the tenant caused the landlord a loss, and therefore he has to compensate him for the loss that he caused. They discussed, obviously, the question that the Shaar Mishpat poses, where he asked that we know that if you stop the landlord from renting out his house, that you're potter. They give different answers. They say either here it's different because the loss is more certain in this case than over there. They say that the rush was discussing a situation where it's more guaranteed that he'll find a renter on that day and more guaranteed that he will not find a renter after that day. Whereas in the case of the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Samach Gimel that the Shaar Mishpat quotes, it's not so certain that the person who stopped the landlord from renting out the house actually caused them a loss. Another answer is that in this case, the tenant is seen as telling the landlord to rely on him, that he's going to be renting the house. And there's a halacha called Midin Arev, which I'm not going to get into the details of this halacha of Din Arev. But basically it says that when Reuven relies on Shimon and puts himself in a situation where he may have a loss, it's easier to mechayev Shimon than if Shimon had caused this loss when Reuven was not relying on him. According to these reasons, it could be argued that a necessary component of the chiyuv would be that the tenant clearly caused the loss to the landlord. In other words, we would have to say that we know that the landlord was relying on the tenant, or we have to say we know that the tenant's actions clearly caused a loss to the landlord. The landlord certainly was not able to rent it out because of the tenant, which in our situation is not 100% clear that we can argue that that's the case. When the tenant tells the landlord, I might be leaving, look for a tenant, and the landlord says, I want you to tell me for sure whether you're going to be leaving. Could we say that the tenant clearly caused the landlord a loss? Maybe the landlord should have looked for a tenant. Who told him to rely on the tenant and assume that this notification was not good? It could be argued that according to these achrayim, the tenant would not be held liable in this case. However, there is another reason given by the Pesachei Tshuva, and this reason is also quoted in the Divrei Gaonim. The Divrei Gaonim was the Marsham's brother-in-law. He doesn't bring down the Marsham. It's sometimes found that he brought down the Marsham, but in this case he didn't bring down that the Marsham argues on him. The reason given by the Pesachei Tshuva, the second reason, is that the Pesachei Tshuva hold that the rental is seen as continuing through the next month. In other words, if Reuven is supposed to give notice to Shimon 30 days before he leaves, and Reuven approaches Shimon on Rosh Chodesh Adar and says, I'm leaving tomorrow. So he gave him one day notice. So we'll say that since it was agreed upon, so to speak, that notice has to be given 30 days before, it's automatically considered that the rental continued for 29 days after the tenant moved out. According to this rationale, one could argue, since the reason that the tenant is responsible is not because he caused the landlord a loss. The reason is because the rental is considered to have continued through the next month, then it would possibly make sense to say that an ambiguous notice is not a notice. Perhaps the landlord is right in saying, until you tell me that you're certainly leaving, the rental is considered to have continued. However, if we look at the Divrei Goyanim inside, it would seem that this is not true. Because when the Divrei Goyanim explains why the rental is considered to have continued, he says the following. Let's say Shimon was supposed to give 30 days notice to Reuven. Shimon comes over to Reuven on Rosh Chodesh Adar and tells him, I'm leaving tomorrow. We say that on the previous Beis Shvat, the day that he should have given notice, had he been leaving on Beis Adar, he didn't give him notice. It's as though he agreed at that time to rent it for another 30 days. It's not that we say that you were obligated at the time of signing the contract to continue the rental through the 30 days after you notify. The reason you're obligated to pay is because on the day you should have given notice, it's as though you said, I'd like to rent it from you for another 30 days. So therefore, when the tenant tells the landlord, I may be leaving, one can argue that we can't say now that because the tenant didn't say, I'm for sure leaving, that it's considered as though the tenant told the landlord, I will be renting this house from you for the next month. Because since the tenant did notify the landlord, he told him that he may be leaving, we can't then say that a new rental was created. In other words, if we were using the old rental to obligate the tenant to pay, one could argue that the old rental will continue until a clear notice is given. However, since what we're trying to do is create a new period of rental, we're trying to create a new contract, basically. It's very hard to understand that such a thing could happen if both parties know and have made it clear to each other that the rental will not necessarily continue. So it's possible, even according to the Piskei Tshuva and the Divrei Goyanim, the tenant would not be obligated to pay the landlord. Now, I mentioned previously that this discussion doesn't necessarily hold true where there was an actual signed contract. However, the Divrei Goyanim is discussing a case where there was a clear minhag that the tenant had to give notice to the landlord. So it could be argued that minhag would be in place of a signed contract, and therefore the discussion of the achronim could be compared to contemporary questions.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.